The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. And we will read the whole chapter. Since it's narrative, some might find it easier to just listen as the story is read. If so, that's fine. But for others, if you want to follow along, Genesis chapter 41, and we will read the whole chapter. Here is God's word. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. And they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted, by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of the Pharaoh for food in the cities. And let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt. so that the land may not perish through the famine. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath Paneah. And he gave him in marriage to Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house." The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. This ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Greg, for reading. And thank you for praying for those in China and the coronavirus. 2 of those people are our son and his wife. And they serve as missionaries in Beijing. And as God would have it, they have to kind of go in and out of the country because of their visa. They were at a training conference in Thailand, and their mission crew has decided they're going to stay in Thailand for 3 more weeks. So they're not going back to Beijing, and they're going to just stay put. We're going to hear more. We talk to our son every Sunday night, and so we'll hear from him more details. But we wait and trust God. Do you like to wait? Yeah, I don't either. Most of us don't, right? And in our fast-paced American culture, everything's got to be fast, right? Fast food, fast communication. I don't want to wait in traffic. I don't want to wait at the doctor's office. I even pace in front of my microwave. I mean, I can't even wait 30 seconds for my coffee to warm up. Come on. We wait for little things. We wait for big things too, don't we? We wait to get married. We're married and we wait to have kids. We wait for that first job or a better job. We as a church wait for a new pastor. We've been following in the book of Genesis, this man, Joseph. And when we last left him, Joseph was in prison. And now 2 years have gone by where we pick up the story. Well, what do people do in prison? Well, they wait, don't they? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Waiting on God. And the scripture is full of stories and verses like this. Listen to the opening two verses of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Well, you get the picture. How long? And that's a psalm about waiting on God. So here's what I want to do this morning. Two main points. The first one is, while you wait, what do you do when you wait? And then, because you wait, what happens afterwards? So let's just dive in quick. While you wait. Waiting seems like a waste, right? Nothing happens, you think. What do you do? Do you just passively sit there and do nothing? Well, no. Here's what you do. First, you submit to God's will. Right? You pray like Jesus when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. We even pray that in the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, I want your will. And we submit to that. Well, what's Joseph waiting for and submitting to? He's waiting for God to work. Here's the last verse in the chapter before that, and then our first verse. The chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. If you remember from last week, the cupbearer and the cook were both in prison with Joseph, and Joseph interpreted their dreams for him, and Joseph just said, hey, when you get out in 3 days, remember me. Oh, but the guy forgot him. And he's there for 2 years. 2 full years. 730 days and nights. And these 2 years, they weren't very exciting or eventful. It was just one day after another, kind of the same old thing. And that's what it feels like to wait. Nothing happening. But we see, it may seem like nothing's happening to us, but God is working. Right? Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. Sure enough, God's going to work in the heart of the king. Pharaoh has a dream that disturbs him. Now, if you were God, and you were wanting to get the attention of the most powerful man in Egypt, get his attention so that he would listen to you and some counsel, you know, what would you do? Well, you give him a problem that he can't solve. And so that's what God does. He gives him this dream. In the morning, he's troubled. He calls in the magicians and the wise men, and they go, we don't know. Probably a dangerous thing. I mean, that's their job, right? To kind of know that stuff. And they said, we're not sure. But then as they're talking, verse 12, he says, the butler goes, oh, yeah. Come to think of it, there was that guy in prison. He interpreted both our dreams, and they did come true. So they're like, okay, well, go get him. Go get Joseph. God's working. Now, Joseph, of course, doesn't know all this is happening. But he's got to be ready. He has no idea, Joseph does, why he's being taken out of prison and summoned to the Pharaoh. He doesn't know. There's no warning. There's no time to study up on the interpretation of dreams or to sort of restore a relationship with God that's sort of left stale and broken down. He didn't have time for that. He's got to be ready to go. In fact, we see that in Joseph, don't we? It's a good example for us that you and I, we need to be ready. You know, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, so that when opportunity knocks, so to speak, when God's timing is right, we're ready to go. Well, that was Joseph. But he realizes, well, I better make the most of my opportunity. So he shaves himself. Egyptians are clean shaven. He changes his clothes. He takes a bath. Right? And he says, well, I want to make the most of this. Pharaoh says, well, I've had a dream and nobody can interpret it. I've heard you can do that. Joseph answered, well, not me. Oh boy. I'm sure there was a gasp in the crowd, you know. It's not in me, but God. Joseph's faith is not in himself, but it's in God. Now, Joseph could have said, you Egyptians, you have used me and abused me since the day I got here. And now you want to treat me nicely because I can be of some value to you. And you, Mr. Butler, you want me to kind of, you could be the hero now to get this dream interpreter guy? Not a chance. I'm not going to do this. But that wasn't Joseph's attitude, was it? He was ready to go. He said, okay, I am submitting to God's will here, and this is what God has for me. And so I'm going to speak of God's work. I'm not only submitted to God's will, but when I have the chance, I'm going to talk about God's work. Maybe Joseph thought here was his chance to finally defend himself before Pharaoh. Hey, the reason I was in prison, let me tell you the whole thing. He never mentions the Mrs. Potiphar incident. No, he's just there to speak about God's work. And so he tells him. And he interprets the dream. The cows, the grain, and notice how God is in his words. God has revealed to Pharaoh. The doubling of Pharaoh's dreams mean that this is fixed by God. God will shortly bring it about. And so here's the dream, an artist's rendering. And he's saying, this is God at work. Joseph had been in Egypt long enough to know that if he's going to talk about a different God than the Egyptian gods, and in front of the king of Egypt, it's probably not going to be received very well. It's going to be a risk, isn't it? But Joseph also knows he's lived in the presence and the promises of God long enough that he's got to mention God. If Pharaoh is going to get an answer, it's going to be from God. And Joseph is going to talk about that. God was working. Now, how do we know that? Well, let's think of this. God is speaking to Pharaoh. Remember, they didn't have the Bible yet. So you can't open your Bible and read. No. God spoke directly to people. or sometimes through angels, or like in this case, through dreams. So God was speaking, and Pharaoh was responding. You know, when the people around us, when God speaks to their hearts and they start to respond, we need to be ready to be able to give an explanation, shouldn't we? Oh, that's God talking to your heart, and here's what that means. Well, Pharaoh looked elsewhere, of course. He looked to people, his advisors, his magicians and wise men, and they couldn't give him the answers. So he's looking to God. So what do you do while you wait? Joseph, he's teaching us, well, you submit to God's will. You speak to God's work. And you serve in God's wisdom. Joseph interprets the dream, and now he's going to present a plan. It's kind of a solution. In business or goal-setting contexts, something that is wise, they use, we want to do SMART goals. Have you ever heard this? SMART, it's an acronym, S-M-A-R-T. See how wise and smart Joseph's plan is. S, it was specific. Egypt was going to need a very strict, well-organized rationing process. M, measurable. 20% tax on everybody. I was just talking to somebody earlier about they were working on their taxes yesterday. We know about taxes, don't we? Here's a 20% tax on everybody. A, it's action-oriented. Everyone's got to get moving on this. To store up the grain, to count it, get to be too much. They couldn't even count it, but R, it's realistic. Everyone could participate and would participate in this. This was a wise plan. And T was time frame. There are 7 good years, 7 years of famine. And Joseph didn't know this, obviously, but he says, here's a wise plan. Now, he's not gunning for the job. He never suggests that. He never says, hey, I'm the one that interpreted this, and I had a plan. You owe me. I'm the guy that should do it. He's not working an angle here. He's just serving in God's wisdom in interpreting the dream and applying a solution. And so he waits. He waits. Well, let's talk about what happens next because you wait. What are the blessings or the benefits? Usually in our minds, some of our hesitation is it worth waiting? Why should I wait? There's a thing called delayed or deferred gratification. Parents try and teach their kids this, but it's for adults as well. Where you are resisting the temptation to have an immediate reward, you're going to resist that, and you're going to wait for something later, a later and better reward. But you've got to wait. According to Psychology Today, this is one of the personal traits of some of the most successful people around. They know how to wait. Well, what happened with Joseph? He waits. What happens? Well, let's look. A bunch of things. First, God receives the credit for everything that goes on. Now, Joseph may have been tempted to take the credit. Hey, wasn't that a good interpretation of the dreams I gave? You know, or he says, well, before I give the interpretation, what's in it for me? What's this worth to you? Pharaoh, you seem pretty troubled. What? Give me an offer. Well, he doesn't do that. In fact, he goes overboard, Joseph does, to tell Pharaoh and everybody else who's listening that this is God. Pharaoh even recognizes that, look at verse 38, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Here's the first time in the Bible where we see that the Spirit of God comes on somebody. Joseph. You know, non-Christians will sometimes realize that, won't they? They see something's different about us Christians, something even supernatural. Well, maybe they won't be able to put their finger on it, or maybe they're not ready to trust their life to God, but they realize something's going on here that I can't totally explain. Well, God receives the credit for what's going on. God gives his blessing. We've seen that through Pharaoh. But think about it. Joseph is now second in command. How many kings would put a foreigner in charge of their whole country? Probably not many. Plus, Joseph is an ex-con. He's got a record. He just got out of prison, actually. And Pharaoh has just met him, so he's a stranger. Okay, well, why don't you run the country? Well, that's how God works often. When the time of waiting is over, boom, God really works. And we see how God gives his blessing. Pharaoh gives him his signet ring. That was sort of the platinum credit card of the day. You could buy anything, do anything. You had all the power. We gave you fine garments, a gold necklace, a royal chariot, and a priest's daughter for your wife. Joseph is second in command. In fact, Joseph never goes back to prison. Verse 40. Six there, he's 30 years old. Later on in chapter 50, he's going to die at 110. That means Joseph served for 80 years. And God continued to bless him. He was 17 when his brothers sold him into slavery. Now he's 30, so that's 13 years he's had to wait. And think of the things that he's gone through, right? Hardship as a slave. He was a falsely accused servant. He was in prison. But now God gives his blessing. Let's keep going. Joseph has two sons. His first son, he's going to call Manasseh, which means forgetfulness. God, in the birth of his son and the joy of being a father, God has helped him forget the past. Now, he doesn't totally forget his father or his family. We're going to see next week in the next chapter how much he misses them. But he's saying that God has healed me from those hurts, right? Maybe you know people who have hurts in their past. A lot of us do. But somehow, they never get over them. And they allow them to sour their life. And they don't allow God to heal those hurts so that you can say, yeah, I've forgotten those. There's a second son. I'm here saying here God gives his hope. Ephraim, which means fruitful, or actually doubly fruitful. He's not looking in the past. Now he's sort of with his second son looking to the future. And he's saying, God has made me fruitful. For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's where I got this title for this sermon series, Fruitful in Affliction. That's what Joseph said. These were Hebrew names, not Egyptian names, that Joseph names his boys. So you couldn't help, when you met his family, to wonder, or maybe even ask, oh, those names, those are good names, I guess, but they're not Egyptian names. No, they're Hebrew names, let me tell you. And Joseph, or maybe even if he didn't, just the boys themselves, their names would be a witness to God. One last thing, because you wait, we see, and here's how the chapter ends. God uses you to bless other people. See, sometimes the factors of waiting, it's not just about you. There's other things going on. There's other people involved. There's other circumstances to consider. And we don't always see those or know them, but God sees all that. And God uses Joseph to bless so many people. He's promoted. Egypt survives. He helps not only Egypt, but the surrounding nations. He doesn't hoard it for himself. He doesn't use it as a political chip to manipulate people. He opens the grain vaults and feeds whoever comes. You know, that's a great blessing. When God blesses people abundantly, and then they share those blessings to other people. They don't just take it for themselves. God uses you to bless other people. So Joseph serves in politics, in the national government, in a pagan government. God uses Joseph to bless other people. Well, here's how I want to end. What if you don't wait? What if, we'll go back to Joseph, what if, like Joseph sort of was hoping, and maybe we're reading the story, we're hoping, that in 3 days the butler will remember Joseph, and Joseph gets out. What if that's the end of the story? Well, I guess Joseph would have gotten out of prison, but he would have been unemployed, homeless, still wearing his prison clothes, no transportation, and still single. Maybe, for small consolation, Joseph could have congratulated himself on having the foresight to at least mention it to the butler. Mention me. But this is not really a story about man, is it? This is a story about God and how God works. Joseph, of course, does wait. Now, he doesn't know what's going to happen, right? He just waits and trusts God. What does God do? He works through a pagan king, Pharaoh. And he makes Joseph second in command. He gives him fine clothes, jewelry, a chariot to ride, a palace to live in, a beautiful bride to marry. He puts him in a place to save the whole nation and Joseph's family. We'll get to that in a couple chapters coming up. And God gets a credit for it all. So is it worth waiting? Let me encourage you. It is. Most likely you're waiting on God for something. I don't know what. And you have to make a decision. Will I wait or won't? Will I take things into my own hands or not? Will I trust God or will I... whatever. Well, let me pray and ask God to help us while we wait. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would just teach us how to prayerfully and patiently wait on you. It's hard sometimes. So help us to be still before you, to listen to your voice, to abide in you, to trust you. Keep us from fretting and worrying and have anxious thoughts. We pray that as we wait on you, we would go deeper into your word of truth, and that in all things, Lord, it would bring glory to you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.